are more or less true. Let me pray, then start.
I thank you for this opportunity to meet together and to have fellowship around your people. And I just thank you that we all made it in safe. Pray that you give us a weekend that's centered around you, and Lord, that you give us opportunities to pour into each other's lives and to grow and to learn to trust you more. Thank you for your Son, who has made us a body and who has brought us together, given us common ground. I pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. Like Mark said, one of the true things Mark said was that my name is Alex. That is true. And it wasn't too long ago that I was actually sitting where you guys are sitting. I was a student for 4 years at Snowtrip. My wife is, her name is Carly. She's in the back with the cup. Everyone look back at her because they're going to be awkward. And yeah, clap for them. No. But yeah, so then I went through Snowtrip 4 years and then took a couple years off because I was at college and then became a leader. And this is my third year leading in Snowtrip. So, just a great ministry. I want to start our days off with devotions, talking about the gospel. And I want to talk not about what the gospel is, but what the gospel does for us. So, just to kind of get it started, just give me some thoughts. What is the gospel? If somebody asked you, hey, what's the gospel? What would you say to them?
The spirit that's trying to attach to you.
Okay, I like one of those answers.
The good news.
The good news, yeah.
Well, oh, come on.
Oh, I guess kind of, maybe.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is trying to grasp you.
Stop.
There's so many terms. Okay, so the good news. Okay, the good news about what? What is the good news? It is good news.
Why is it salvation?
Salvation, okay.
You want me to go into deep detail?
Yeah, like a little more than just that. Salvation, what? Like, how does it say this?
Jesus has given us his body and his blood to represent communion and also our baptismal, so it can represent our purity for being with him after baptism.
Okay, yeah. So
I kind of went from the ending to back to the beginning.
Okay, so Christ has given us his body and his blood to make us pure before God.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that kind of works. So Christ has died for us, right? Thanks. We talk about Christ's death, we talk about his resurrection, we talk about his perfect life as being the substitute for God's wrath for us, making us holy, right? So yeah, that's essentially what the gospel is. And we tap into that by faith, right? God gives us faith, we believe, and that's the gospel. What does the gospel do for us, though? There's probably one idea that we all kind of have in our mind. What does the gospel do for us?
It fills us up with faith.
Gives us faith, okay.
And it makes us perfect when we can.
Okay, so it sanctifies us when we can. That's good. We're going to get into that a little bit.
Faith. It frees us from sin.
Frees us from sin, okay. The big one that I was kind of thinking of was it gives us eternal life, right? That's the one that we always kind of steer people towards, right? Hey, believe in the gospel so that you can have eternal life. And while that's true, I think sometimes we forget that the gospel gives us much more, if that news could get any better, the gospel gives us much more than just eternal life. The Bible tends to speak about our lives before we have faith as being lives lived under slavery. You guys familiar with that imagery? Being enslaved to sin, being enslaved to death, these sort of things. So the Bible tends to talk about our lives before the gospel as being lives of slavery, and the gospel freeing us from slavery. So what I want to do with our three short times together is talk about three ways that the gospel frees us, okay? Three ways that the gospel frees us from slavery. And what I want to do is, you guys are taking notes. You guys have a notebook next time, and I want you kind of to write some of these thoughts down, just to have them, because they're really good to remind you of some. I'm going to give you my main point just up front. The first thing that the gospel frees us from is the gospel frees us from the slavery of working to earn favor with God. The gospel frees us from the slavery of working to earn favor with God. So you guys have your Bibles. Let me just read this text. It's Romans 4, 4 through 5. I'll give you a second to turn there. Romans 4, 4 through 5. Paul says, "Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness." So to the one who works, his wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. To the one who does not work, but trusts, God gives grace to make us righteous, right? That's what he's saying. This gospel truth is vastly freeing because of the bleak news that Paul lays out for us in the few previous chapters of Romans. Just summing up Romans 1 through 3, human beings are really bad at keeping God's rules. Human beings are really bad at keeping God's rules. The fact of the matter is, you can spend your life doing two things. You can spend your life trying to keep the rules and trying to earn your favor before God and failing, okay? Or you can spend your life not caring about the rules and still failing. That's kind of what Romans 1 through 3 is talking about. So you can live your life trying to keep the rules and failing, or not caring about the rules and still failing. So that's the plight of mankind. That's kind of what we're up against. Both scenarios end with us failing and being under God's wrath, being in trouble, being in need of a Savior. So there is no difference between the one who is doing a lot to try to earn favor with God and the one who is not doing a lot trying to earn favor with God. Both of them end up under God's wrath. So the good news, the thing that the gospel brings to us is that we no longer need to rely upon our efforts to try to earn our favor with God. We no longer need to try to keep the rules in order to earn our favor with God, because Christ has done this for us. Christ has come, kept the rules that we couldn't keep, and by faith we can tap into what he has done for us. That's why this news is good news, and it's vastly freeing, right? But as good as that news is, okay, you will still struggle through your life to live by it. You are still going to struggle to completely trust Christ's work for you on the cross. You are still going to try to work to earn your favor with God. You're doing it now. I'm doing it now. This past week, you've done it several times. That we are independent people, right? We don't like to admit that we need help. We don't like to wait and trust. We like to try and do, right? That's just how people are. So we abhor the idea of having to admit that we are failures and having to rely upon someone else to accomplish our salvation for us. That's just the fact of the matter. We are going to live our lives fighting this. We'll all admit that it's good news. We'll all amen that it's good news. But when push comes to shove, we will go back to trying to earn our favor before God. We like doing, we hate waiting. The problem with that is that when we fall back into it, when we fall back into trying to earn our favor before God, we're sinning. Trying to work, trying to earn your favor before God, you're sinning. And you're also failing to earn favor before God again, so you're sinning again. So it's a dual-edged sword in that when you try to work, you sin. And then when you fail to do what you're trying to do, you're also sinning. So it's counterproductive, this lifestyle of trying to earn your favor before God. Let me give you an illustration of how it's counterproductive. How many of you guys have ever gone to Chuck E. Cheese or one of those arcade places and spent probably $50 winning a 10-cent toy? You know, these they have these Chinese finger cups. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. So you put your fingers in them, right? You spent $50 winning this 10-cent toy. When you have kids, you're gonna do this all over again. So you put your fingers in the finger cups, right? And when you make effort, when you pull, what happens? They enslave you. You can't get out.
You have to let go and let Jesus for you to get out.
Yeah. So you're pulling. You're tight. As you make effort, it makes it harder for you to get out, right? How many of you guys have ever been in a swimming pool and there's a beach ball and you're trying to swim towards the beach ball? You take one stroke, and what happens to the ball?
It goes
farther away, right?
That never happens.
Your effort is counterproductive in your final goal. Now, we can resonate with the first two illustrations, but I haven't, but maybe somebody here has. How many of you guys have ever been caught in quicksand before? None of us, right? But we all know that when you get caught in quicksand, what are you not supposed to do?
Move.
You're not supposed to move. You're not supposed to struggle. You're not supposed to make effort. You're supposed to wait for someone to come help you, right? This is illustrative of living the life of faith, right? When you make effort, you get yourself farther and farther into trouble. When you make efforts to try to earn your favor before God, you get farther and farther away from what you're trying to do. So, here's my point of application I want you to take away. So, because of that, you need to stop looking to your work for God's acceptance and start leaning on Christ's work for God's acceptance. So catch that. You need to stop looking to your work for God's acceptance and start leaning on Christ's work for God's acceptance. So what does that look like? What is a life that does that? What is a life that does that? What does that look like, right? Let me give you three practical points of how it looks. What this means is that you don't live your life trying to pay God back. Okay? So you admit that you're a Christian. You accept that you're a Christian, right? You believe that. And we have this weird tendency to think that we should do good works to pay God back for what he's done for us. But don't you see how that's just the same mindset of trying to work to earn favor with God? So you shouldn't live your life trying to pay God back for his grace. Paul confronts in Galatians, if you want more on that, you should read Galatians, that we are saved by grace and nothing that we've done. And we also need to live by grace, relying upon God to help us, right? So it's not as though God saves us and then leaves us to do everything on our own. He saves us and expects us to continue to rely upon him, right? So when we work to try to pay God back, we're just falling back into the previous mindset. So that's the first one. Don't work to pay God back. You can't ever do it, and you'll just fail again. The second is that this means that you shouldn't judge others for their shortcomings. We're really good at that one, right? Yeah, I'm bad, but you should see so-and-so, right? Or they wrong you again. I can't believe you keep doing this. What's wrong with you, you know? But that, when we judge others for their shortcomings, we're falling back into the mindset that we all individually need to work to earn favor before God. And we're holding other people to the mindset that you need to work to earn my favor. So we shouldn't judge others for their shortcomings. Because at the end of the day, it's not about what we can or cannot do, but about what Christ has done, right? It's not about what we can or cannot do. It's about what Christ has already done for all of us. That's the second one. The third one is that this means that you shouldn't live in fear of God because he has already accepted you regardless of what you've done. It means that you shouldn't live in fear of God because he has accepted you regardless of what you've done. Sometimes we get this picture in our mind about God that he's kind of like a slave master with a whip standing over us, waiting to hit us when we fail. You guys get that sometimes? You guys feel that? He stands over you with a whip waiting for you to fail. Sometimes I feel that. That's not at all how it is, right? How do we know that? Well, he accommodated our weaknesses, right? He said, you're weak in sin. I will send my son who is not weak to help you, to bring you back to me. So he's not like a slave master. He's more like a father with his arms open, right? That's the imagery that the Bible presents for us. So he's not a slave master waiting for you to fail, right? He knows about your failures. He's accommodated your weaknesses. He's working to change your weaknesses so you don't need to live in fear of him punishing you for your weaknesses if you're in Christ. In fact, if you're in Christ, he's already punished your weaknesses on Christ. So there's no more fear left. There's only acceptance. There's only grace. There's only hope. And that, when you get that picture of God, obeying him becomes vastly different, right? You're not obeying a slave master anymore. You're obeying your father because you love him. So that's the picture that I want you to get. So the gospel frees us from the mindset of having to work to earn God's favor. So we need to stop working, stop looking to our own work for God's acceptance, and start looking to Christ's work for God's acceptance. And this has a lot of ramifications for our life. But does anybody have thoughts or questions? And I'll pray, and then we can move on. Any thoughts or questions? All right, let me pray, and then we'll be done. Father, thank you for your word that frees us. Thank you for the gospel that transforms our hearts and gives us freedom. Lord, I just pray that we would continue to work by your grace and to trust that you are freeing us from our sins, freeing us from judgment, freeing us from our enslavements. And Lord, I just thank you for your son who lived a perfect life in our place so that we don't need to or we cannot. And that he came and he died for us. And now that we are in him, you see his righteousness and not our sinfulness. And I just thank you for him and for his sacrifices for us. I pray that you bless our weekend and help us to focus on Christ. We praise you in his name. Amen.